Good morning. They're still showing that. I was going to say, yeah, as you can see, that today's title is, but you can't yet. There it is. It's yeah, but. It's one of those funny little phrases that you hear often. I've heard it many times. It's usually pronounced as one word, even though it's spelled two different. It's yeah, but. It's something that in the home I grew up in, it was not allowed. I've heard many times, there are no yeah buts. Silly as that sounds, it was just a marsh rule, no yeah buts. Because a yeah but is nothing more than an argument for what is. Yeah but is a phrase, but it's also a person. The yeah but always thinks it can win any contested topic. It can win any debate. That's the yeah but. Yeah but is the trump card of all trump cards. You know, you can't go outside and play. You might get hit by lightning. Yeah but. It's too cold outside. You have to wear shoes. Yeah but. Right? If you want to go to your friend's house this weekend, your room's got to be clean. Yeah, but everyone's going to be there. We're going to look at the yeah buts today, and we're going to cover a wide variety of topics. I'm just going to touch on them lightly because I think we're going to get the point here that a lot of times we won't even realize we're the yeah but. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone who has asked you for your opinion? This someone is telling you how miserable their life is or how hard their circumstance is, and if they could only just change this fill in the blank, it would be so much better. Maybe you're bold enough to choose to engage and offer a solution, or maybe share a story of someone who has actually overcome that very same issue or a similar issue. But while you're talking, the person only half listens to what you have to say, and they are quick to answer, and their answer begins with, yeah, but. When hearing the yeah, but, you find you are immersed in a circular conversation. It's safe to say at this point, any suggestion, information you have to share is falling on deaf ears. We all do it, most without even realizing we are. It's our way of saying, I'm not totally committed to getting better yet, or I'm not ready to take the steps needed to improve my situation. The yeah but is nothing more than an inability or unwillingness to firmly decide to change. You see, there is a big difference between wanting, needing, and choosing to do something. Wanting is nothing more than a desire. It's an urge. It's a feeling there is some other option or choice to be had. Needing is more of a pressure feeling. It's an urge. It's a feeling of a negative consequence if there's not a change. But choosing, that's that personal decision. It's a deliberate intention, a commitment, a sense of responsibility. See, it boils down to ownership. You know, wanting and needing is this external thing. But choosing is that internal thing. We own it at that point. A person may want to take action or even need to, but until the choice is made, no action happens. Choice is a very powerful thing. Wanting is just not going to be enough. Until we choose, there's no program or no person in the world that can help you. So as we go forward, we're going to take a look at some yeah buts. We're going to ask ourselves, what are our yeah buts? But we're also going to look at the biblical howevers, right? Because for every yeah but is not the trump card of all conversations. It is an intro to the however. This is what God has to say. So what are your yeah buts? Let's take a sampling, shall we? Now I'm going to go through Like I said, different topics. They're not necessarily in order of importance or in order of growth or whatever. They're just, this is how they hit me. This is how I wrote them down. So as Christians, we're supposed to go out and make disciples. We're supposed to share our testimony. We're supposed to, just talk about the gospel, right? We could be those fishermen. I'm not going to go over my last sermon, but we know we're supposed to be fishermen, right? So in giving our testimony or sharing our faith, because we don't want to be that forceful guy or gal that just trying to stick Jesus in there at every twist and turn. It's got to be organic, if you will. But when sharing, you may come to the point where you ask those important questions. Do you know there's a God? Do you know that he loves you? Do you know that there's a plan for your life according to his will and his purpose? Yeah, but I don't know. However, in Deuteronomy 4:29, it says, if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. If you look for him with all of your heart and with all your soul. See, there's that choosing, that action component that's missing from the yeah, but. So from this yeah, but I don't know, we also can say, however, in Luke 11:9, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Again, there's that action component, that choosing. Choosing puts you into action. Wanting, wishing, even needing isn't sufficient. Those are where we'll rest in the conversation aspect of it and go no further. But God's however says, if you seek, you will find. It's a promise. It's a promise. You're going to find that everywhere there's a promise, there's almost a challenge. You know, we're going to talk about it later in Malachi 3:10 that everyone talks about. That's the only place that God really challenges, you know, test me in this. However, every one of God's promises is a test me in this. How about the church? Do you understand the importance and value of attending service? The being part of worship, your presence, that it's not just for yourself, but it's for everyone else here. I remember having this discussion years ago. The people I had it with probably don't remember, but it was at a life group, and we're sitting around. We got on that topic about church attendance. Well, give me a microphone and a soapbox, I'll talk about anything. So I says, you know, what I don't understand why people don't put more emphasis on church attendance. Because it's even when I feel terrible, I still come. Because I know I'm going to get energized. Everyone always says, I didn't feel like coming, but afterwards, right? I'm so glad I did. But if we put that, I'm so glad I get to go, then we don't have to go through that. But, yeah, but the thing here is that I was explaining how Pastor Lee was so important to my attendance. Because I was always uplifted by the, that's right. You're going to get that from Pastor Lee, or a hallelujah, or an amen. And at the time, he was pretty much the only voice we heard out in the congregation. And as I'm telling about how important that was, that I even knew that just my head being present with all the other heads, what could be and should be an inspiration to everybody else. Because it's just one more amongst the number of those that are willing to put in the effort to be here amongst God's people. And then some smart aleck in the group, he'd go, that's right! You know, and I think it was Dave. We had fun with that the rest of the evening. So the importance of that, you're going to get in that conversation, you're going to have those. Maybe it was you. It was me at one time. You get the yeah, but. Church is okay, but you know you don't have to go to make heaven your home. Or, yeah, but I'm not into organized religion. This is the corniest of all. I do church out in God's creation, just me and him. That's my church. You hang around North Idaho, you're going to hear that a lot. However, in Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become the holy temple of the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Kind of trumps the yeah, but.
That's right.
That's right. Thank you. So the question I always wondered is like, okay, if not part of the body, then what? If not part of the church, then who? In Romans 12:4, to add more to this conversation, it says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So you're not your own. If you call yourself a child of God, a Christian, a person of faith, pick your title. But if you believe that there is a God, then why aren't you here? Why aren't you participating in your family? Because trust me, you are not going to ever have a friend. If you make one, you're not going to keep them if you shun the rest of their family. Am I right? You trash my wife, we're done. You talk bad about my kids, it's over. You can't be that guy, say, I'm not going to be part of that, but I'm still going to be part of it. How does that work? I believe in the head, but the rest of it's worthless. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I think some of the best eating's from the head down. Jesus even prays to the Father for those that are his. Jesus even steps in on our behalf, solidifying this whole concept in John 17:11. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave to me, so that they may be as one as we are one. It's true, my friends, you don't have to attend church, but you are needed and will be missed. And just for the record, I feel compelled to say that you can exempt yourself from participation, but I think there are other exemptions that go along with that. This is an old parable I heard a long time ago. So it's not an exact quote, but I don't think there is an exact quote for an Eskimo parable. Now, the true Eskimos, they live on ice pretty much their whole year. Snow and more snow. They know a little bit about hardship. They know a little bit about the struggles of life. And when it comes to this kind of topic, it says, you can travel much faster when you go it alone, but you ensure your arrival when you travel in numbers. Yeah. How about the Word? The Word of God. The Bible. Scriptures. This is how we get to know God for ourselves. How He is. Who He is. We get the opportunity. The pleasure. To dig in and find discovery for ourselves, and then the ability to share those discoveries with other believers. We get a better understanding of God's plan for our lives, our part in that plan. And the question is how can you possibly love someone you know little about? All good arguments for getting into Scripture. Yeah, but It's complicated. It's hard to understand. That's the number one on my list. I hear that a lot. The truth is we make it complicated. If you were to ask my personal assessment, this is hilarious. From the book of Larry, it's after Revelation. Saying it's hard or it's complicated is because we want it to be hard and complicated. That way it releases us from the responsibility of knowing something for ourselves. We're going to lay that burden on God so we can shake that bony fist at him when things don't work out right. Or we can lay it on our parents or the cop, the judge, the jailer, whatever, right? And the truth is when we say that it's hard, it means we're really not interested. However, John 20:31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And Romans 15:4, it also says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. To whom were these written? Yeah, to us. So is it complicated? Why would God write you a letter and then make it hard to read? Why would God write you a love letter and have some kind of code where you need a decoder ring to understand, or you need somebody of higher education to tell it to you? So what we have is the opportunity here to take a look at these yeah buts and just see how silly they really are. These are written for us so that we can understand. Every generation, every age group, it's what it was written for. Doesn't matter where your placement in time is, Scripture was written to you. Thank you. How about ministry? I know that's a scary word. Let's call it service or calling. Now, if I had a penny for every time I said this next phrase, I'd be a very wealthy man. You're created. You are engineered. You are handcrafted and equipped for a purpose. Right? It's wonderful and unique, and it's for you and you alone to accomplish. No one can do it for you. For if you fail to complete this purpose, it never gets done, ever. Through the rest of time, the rest of eternity, it just lays there undone. That's how awesome God made you. Yeah, but I don't think I'm ready. Or I'm not able. I don't feel adequately equipped. That's for the more learned. They use that one. 1 Corinthians 1:7. However, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things to shame the strong. See, in 2 Peter 1:5-11, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. We've heard this scripture before, right? Maybe. And to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to that self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. This is all that to get to the meat right here. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, God chose you. So it doesn't matter if you're ready. God's ready. He's ready to use you right now, right where you're at. You don't need to go to seminary to be used. You don't even, I'm not going to stop right there. God chose you for a purpose. And the pursuit of God's will for you is simply being a willing participant. Amen. It's not about being anything else. You can't be what you're not. But you can be willing. In order to be a conduit, you have to be willing. In order to be a teacher, you've got to be willing. In order to be a pastor, you've got to be willing. In order to be here on a Sunday morning, you've got to be willing. Remember that all of God's commands, I love this one, all of God's commands come with the power to fulfill them. See, it's not in our power at all. It's in His ability and for His will, for His purpose, that these things happen, if we would just be willing. Amen. Giving. Believe me, this is a touchy one. Because I've gotten myself in trouble with this topic before. Giving. You can call it whatever you want. Tithe, an offering, whatever. It's still giving. But believe me, you, that you've been given gifts, you've been given talents, and you've been given experience. And that giving isn't all about finance, but it has everything to do about investing. Yeah, but biblical or not, I can't right now. Okay. That's a pretty good yeah, but. However, 2 Corinthians 8:12 says, "For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable to what one has, not according to what he does not have." Or the old standby, all we have is God's anyway. Yeah, but I really don't have to, do I? No, you don't. Honestly, you don't. But consider the only challenge God has given us. Then in Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. See, giving is a tough one. I remember at another church I attended before coming here, before God called me here. I believe that was the truth. I was the youth leader there. The whole scenario, how that happened, it's complicated. Okay, but the point is I found myself in a position of leadership, but I was not a tither. Yeah. I got approached because now I'm the new youth leader. Hey, you know what? You really need to tithe. You really, since you're in a position of leadership, you know, it's kind of a awkward place to be in with you not tithing. And I had to agree. There was no argument for me. You're right. My answer was a step down. You're right, I should be tithing in a position of leadership, so I just won't be in a position of leadership. No, the answer here is not to step away, but it's to step up. You need to tithe. Oh boy. We weren't doing real well financially. And I remember the conversation with my wife about that, and she's very practical about it. I can't beat her up, but I'm saying we should, and she's saying we can't, and we kind of had some intense fellowshipping. I let her go to bed mad, but I printed out Malachi 3:10 and taped it to the refrigerator door. That didn't work out so good for me either, because we started right up where we left off. It's passionate fellowshipping. And in our practicality, we couldn't, with after, you know, all the bills, the house, the cars, the insurance, electricity, the water. This is an exact number, but it was right around $200 was all that was left over for the month. And that was for all the incidentals and gas for a whole month. So in the practical approach, we can't tithe and eat. We can't tithe or go to work. We can't. And I remember Amy saying, I am not going to have my kids starve so we could feed a church. And I get that. But I, for some reason, I was tenacious. You know, meek and mild me, you know, not this time. I dug my heels in. And finally, she said it in the nicest way, fine. We're going to do it, and you're going to see how it don't work. I'm okay with that. So as time passed, we're tithing now. I'm off the hook at the church, so I'm in line. And I'm waiting for the report. Time goes by, time goes by, time goes by. You know, I haven't heard anything. And then one day, can't remember if it was after work or whatnot, but I was in the living room, and she comes in crying. She goes, you've got to see this. And, of course, my heart just sinks. I'm not on the same wavelength, not on the same page. I'm thinking something horrible just happened. And she drags me into the computer desk, and she shows me the spreadsheet from before tithing, and right next to it was the spreadsheet after tithing. Before, there was $200 left over. The exact same bill plus tithe, there was $200 left over. They're side by side, I kid you not, and we're going over this. It don't make no sense. She's crying because it's blowed her mind. Some good North Idaho English there. Blowed it. Right? I'm trying not to cry when I tell that one because it's a powerful example of what God can do if we just believe him and his faithfulness. Now, you can question whether that's true or not. She's sitting right over there. You ask her. She's the one that said no from the beginning, and she's the one that had to say yes when it was all said and done. Not me. So, no, you don't have to give. You don't have to be here. You don't have to do anything. But for every yeah, but, God's got a however. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you what, I'm never going to be short again on these. I tell you what, I got a lot more going on. But I want to talk about surrender, though, before we close. Surrender to God. Whether you've been a 60-year Christian or a 60-minute Christian, it all boils down to surrender. To surrender to God, to surrender to his will for your life, to surrender to his surpassing capacity that blows our understanding with the wealth and prosperity and spirit, the things that transcend this world and all that is in it. He has your best interest in heart and in mind. And the last, yeah, but, I know, if I were only ready or worthy. As I said before, you are ready. God said so. So don't worry. God knows you, and he's prepared a way for you. So we're going to go a little Christian 101 here, and we're going to bring it up to speed. Our first issue is sin. Everyone's sin and fallen short. In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay? Then there's a wage for that sin. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we have sin, and there's a wage that we earn for that sin. But there's a gift in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so no one can boast. So we have sin, we have wages for that sin, but there's a gift. Why the gift? Because of God's love. In Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love for us, that in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So that leaves one thing left. What do we do with all of that? We receive it. In Revelation 3:20, says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock." This is Jesus talking. "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." So we have a sin. We have the wages we earn for it. God's provided a gift because of his love, and we just ask for it. We receive it. In closing, yeah, buts live in a world of extenuating circumstances. That is a circumstance that renders conduct less serious to reduce the damages to be awarded or punishment to be imposed. It's describing the specific details that excuse or justify unacceptable behavior. Psalm 1:1-3 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." See, this is the vision of God's child who's pressing into God. His mercy, his faithfulness, his provision, and reaping his blessing. Amen. This is where we want to be. If we could have the worship team come on up. Wait, there's more. Sure. Okay.
Go ahead. After my first husband had died, I was praying and saying, "Lord, what do you want me to do with my life now?" And after a long while, he said, "Start an industrial school." And I knew that it meant a place in Africa. And I said, "Lord, I don't know how, but you do. Let's go." The week before my present husband and I left, you know, time had passed in the meantime, obviously. The week before we left, we had $1,000. Well, you could do something with $1,000 over there. The day we left, the Lord saw to it we had $10,000. The school now exists.
Thank you. I want to go back over that last scripture and just paint you a picture, send you away with something that, whoa, I wasn't going to do that this week, something that touched my heart of all places as I was talking with Randy earlier in Sunday morning workout. This is what I saw in my mind as we read Psalm 1:1-3. It's a picture of that tree. Firmly rooted by a river. Even though some roots are exposed from erosion, it only reveals how large and how deep they must go. Regardless of the erosion of the earth, the tree is healthy and it produces fruit in its season. But the soil that immature tree needed to get its start in life has been removed. But because its roots grew deeper, the tree was only inspired to even go deeper. As the world around it eroded, the softer and tender root was exposed to the environment. And because it ran deep, it persevered. The soft covering of the root thickens against the world's assault to protect the inner parts. Now exposed, it only demonstrates the strength of the whole tree. Even as the water removes some earth, it may well be to the strengthening of the tree by God's will. The water that is necessary for life is used in the maturing and strengthening of the tree. So I say, go deep and live. So much more than survival, but overcoming with life and abundance. Don't be the yeah, but. There are no yeah, buts. Thank you. Probably should pray, huh? Yeah. Probably should pray. If we could bow our heads. That was in the moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are faithful, that you are merciful and a loving God, that you have our best interest in your heart and in your mind, and that your plan is perfect for us. Lord, we pray that you would inspire us to relent to your call. Lord, that we would be into your word, that we would consider the impact that we have on our community and on the body of Christ, that we would live it out in the fullness in which you would have us live it out, Lord God, not in the limitations of our own thinking, but in the gloriousness of who you are and what you have in store for us. Father, we praise you today. We pray a blessing on today and the rest of the week. And on every family represented here, we pray you are with them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.